What we've got here are the actual jury instructions that went to the jury in the Byron Smith case. Now, the elements of self-defense, the jury was told, is the killing must have been done in the belief it was necessary to avert death or great bodily harm. Remember the golden rule we said? The only time you're justified in using deadly force is when you're in immediate fear of great bodily harm or death. So that's exactly what they're saying here. Second, the judgment of the defendant as to the gravity of the peril to which he was exposed must have been reasonable under the circumstances. And finally, the defendant's election to defend must have been such that a reasonable person would have made in light of the danger perceived. Well, the jury didn't believe that the killing was done and the belief was necessary to avert death or great bodily harm. He had an unarmed, wounded teenager at the bottom of the stairs, and he fired a quote-unquote fine finishing shot into the boy's face. So, no, that wasn't self-defense at all. Same with the girl. Second, the judgment of the defendant was to the gravity of the peril was reasonable under the circumstances. They didn't believe what he did was reasonable, and they didn't believe that they would, as a reasonable person, have done the same thing he had previously done. Now, it's interesting to note also, the defendant has no duty to retreat from his dwelling in Minnesota. We don't have to run out of the back door or try to retreat from somebody who's broken into our house and is threatening us. So we don't have a duty to retreat in our own dwelling. So we're going to come to that on the next page. The state has to prove, by the way, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the defendant did not act in self-defense. So once you raise the specter of self-defense as your criminal defense, then the state goes to work to disprove it. You don't have to prove it. You've raised it. It's called an affirmative defense, and they have to disprove it.